Millennials, that's people born between 1981 and 1996, are having children at significantly lower rates than previous generations. According to Pew Research, as of 2018, about 55% of women between the ages of 22 and 37 had given birth. That was down 7% from Generation X, which is already down a little compared to baby boomers. And millennial women are also more likely to continue to remain childless throughout their childbearing years. So far, lots of millennial women are still in those childbearing years. We don't know yet whether they're just delaying having kids or aren't going to have them at all. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Are you a millennial? Do you plan to have children or have you already had kids? Have you made a decision to delay it, put it off, or maybe not at all? And what is driving those decisions or maybe those debates about whether to have kids? Or if you're watching your kids deciding whether to have kids, love to hear from you as well. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Stephanie Kuntz is Director of Research and Public Education for the Council on Contemporary Families. She's the author of a lot of books on gender, family, and history, including the forthcoming For Better and Worse, The Problematic Past, and Uncertain Future of Marriage. Stephanie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
There are a number of ways to slice this question, but what, when you look at the data, Stephanie, what are you seeing when it comes to how many kids millennials are having, whether they're having at all?
Well, it is, as you say, too early to say, because the reproduction rates of women in their 40s have actually gone up. But of course, there is a biological limit. I think we have to, there are a lot of things going on here. First of all, people have to recognize that there's been a huge change over the past 80, 100 years in what kids mean. It used to be that having kids was an economic asset. You lived on a farm, you could do child labor. They've gradually become an economic sacrifice, especially having them early or having more than one or two. And people feel they have to save up for them. Women in particular feel they have to be set both educationally and occupationally. But at the same time, to the extent that they feel they're going to have to continue to work after the baby comes, they're very concerned about whether they're going to be able to balance those. And the old, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, if a society made it hard for women to combine work and family, they started having more babies. But today, it works exactly the opposite. The more a society makes it difficult for women to combine work and family, the more likely they are to reduce their family size or not have kids at all. And there's a really complicated list of reasons that people have for not having babies. But as of 2018, the gap between the number of kids women and men say they want to have and actually have reached had hit its highest level in 40 years. So there's something going on besides the fact, now, although this is an important fact too, that people do feel more socially, it's more socially acceptable to say, no, I don't want kids at all. A lot of people want them, but just don't think they can afford or risk having them or as many as they want.
Now, a lot of millennials came of age right on top of the Great Recession or soon thereafter, a really bad time to do things like enter the job market. How big a factor has that been, do you think, on millennials and having kids?
I think it's a huge effect. We saw a little rebound after the recession, but then we began to get these problems of college debt, increasingly precarious jobs, so that even people who make a good living while they're employed are more concerned about their future employment prospects. And of course, they're more concerned about their children's prospects, more concerned about having to send their child. And this leads to this intensive competitive parenting, which is stressful for both parents and the children. How can I get them into the best college possible? Because even college educated kids, some of them are falling behind. So there's all those sorts of pressures, that economic pressures that are going on. And then those combined with the fact that America has very, very poor social policies to allow you to combine work and family. So you feel like I'm going to have to keep working after I have the child. And yet it's so difficult to combine work with having a baby or a toddler that it's just a tremendous pull for women and for men.
Talking to Stephanie Kuntz with the Council on Contemporary Families about trends in how many kids people are having, down so far or delayed in many cases for millennials, digging into some of the reasons behind that. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Jason is with us in Chippewa Falls. Jason, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about?
I was just going to make comments on my wife and I, like one reason we haven't done it. You know, we want to, we well-educated individuals, we think we would be pretty good at raising a kid, but at the same time, we look at our finances, and I was lucky enough to buy a house in my 20s. So I'm like at the beginning of the whole millennial, maybe kind of grouped into millennials, mm-hmm. I think. And, you know, I was lucky enough to get a house in my 20s. And that mortgage is only like $500-$600 a month, but you look at our student loans and it's about $2,500 a month, and it's been that way for like 10 years. And you look at what it takes to get certain jobs. In my wife's case, physical therapist, but now you got to get a doctorate. Her education costs more than my home, and especially now, like we're in our later 30s. And financially, I think we could do it now, but, you know, in the past 2 years with these inflated costs, I'm thinking the idea is going to sunset on us before we get the opportunity.
Jason, thank you so much for sharing that experience. Stephanie, illustrating one of the points you were just making, some people like Jason and his wife, looking at the household balance sheet, the numbers don't add up for them for having a kid.
Oh, that's right. There was a poll taken in 2018 of why people were putting off or not sure or deciding that they didn't want children. And 6 of the top 8 reasons were connected to this kind of economic thing. Worried about the economy, financial instability, needing to get more education or time on the job, but also childcare too expensive, no paid family leave, not enough leave. All of those kinds of things, there's a tremendous amount of concern about that. And it's a quite justifiable concern. You know, as a historian, I have to say, I am not at all nostalgic for the marriages of the 1950s and 60s because, or the gender relations, because they were extremely unfair. I mean, there were even things like marital rape was allowed. But I am nostalgic, and I understand a certain amount of nostalgia for the political and economic trends with the New Deal and Great Society and men's real wages rising all the time. So, you know, people, I think, are really feeling the pressure when it comes to thinking about what you're going to do with your kids in order to raise your own kids, and if, in fact, you have enough going on for you to be able to get your kids off to a good start.
Jason, thanks again for that call. Talking to Stephanie Kuntz with the Council on Contemporary Families, talking about why millennials, in many cases, are choosing not to have children or to delay having children as compared to previous generations. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are a millennial, want to hear your thoughts on having kids, whether you're having them or not, if you're the parent of millennials or younger people, what are you seeing them talking about when it comes to whether or not you end up with grandkids? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Stephanie Kuntz, Director of Research and Public Education for the Council on Contemporary Families, looking at why millennials are having kids at lower rates than the generations before them, at least so far. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Millennials, want to hear about your thoughts on having children, whether you have them, would like to have them, or have decided not to. Join in at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Chris is with us in Wauwatosa. Chris, hi.
Hi, good evening. How are you doing?
Good. What's your story?
So I'm 36 years old. My wife is 33, and we have a one-year-old and are soon to have another one, probably a little sooner than we expected, in January. I'm working full time. I have a good job. She just finished her graduate degree right before we found out we were having our second, and we're really struggling with the idea of childcare. Now, it right now doesn't make sense for her to go to work, even though she has a graduate level degree, due to the cost of childcare. And that's really hampering our ability to even consider a third. So I think just, you know, from a millennial standpoint, you know, childcare, other than having grandparents watch them, is really a deterrent for having additional children or children in general.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call, Stephanie. A lot of people, myself and my wife included at various points, have had to weigh the is it worth it to work given the cost of childcare situation. That hasn't changed in the last 20 years or so. How big a factor is this?
Oh, I think it's a quite a big factor. And the problem is that it creates a real double bind, because in the short run, it's obviously a very convenient way and often a necessary way to deal with the stress of work and family life. On the other hand, in the long run, it really hurts women's future in the workforce, and it inhibits male participation at home. I was really glad to hear that your first two callers were male, because one of the important things we find in women's decisions or willingness to have children is how important paternal leaves and paternal attitudes are. That employed women are more likely to have a second and a third child if their partner was able to share child-rearing duties. And they didn't have to completely sacrifice work in order to build their family. So that's another important consideration.
Chris, thanks for the call. Good luck in figuring all that out. Before we go back to our callers, Stephanie, how much can things like public policy, social programs, things like that, a lot of countries around the world are trying various efforts to make it easier for people to have kids. Do we know if anything actually works?
Well, there was a somewhat re-increase in fertility in the late 90s and the first 7 or 8 years of the 21st century in several countries that did initiate better programs for childcare and maternity leave and paternity leave, which seems to be extremely important, as I said. There are limits, though. I mean, I think there are limits in terms of how much we can expect to increase fertility to older rates in a world where we want to spend this much time with our kids, when it takes so much long to reach educational and economic maturity. And perhaps we need to also start thinking about, you know, what do we really have to have an economy that depends upon constantly expanding the market? Or are there other ways that we can begin to utilize our natural and our people resources?
Let's go back to our callers. Mark is with us in Eau Claire. Mark, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
I just wanted to share how my wife and I go about it. And we're both 27 and 28. She's just a little older than I am. And after we bought our first house, we waited about a year, and we actually ended up fostering a son first. And we still plan on having some kids of our own. But I've just been a little more curious every time I hear the conversation, if there's more of a correlation between when millennials buy our first houses and then start having kids, or if it's, you know, related to more and more people that just don't buy a house and continue to rent for a longer time.
Mark, thanks for the call, and thank you for serving as a foster parent. By the way, Stephanie, a home buying, having a secure home, and making that decision to have kids, how big a factor is that?
Well, I don't have exact data on that, but of course it's a huge factor. I mean, you just look at, I got my first grandchild this over the COVID period. And by the way, there was an interesting bump in fertility rates of American-born women during COVID, which suggests that the opportunity to work from home and the kind of income supports that were in place may have an impact on people's decision. But certainly, if you can't afford to buy a house, if you're worried about your mortgage payments might not be able to make them, you could be foreclosed, that's a very risky situation to bring a child into the world with.
Thanks again for that call, Mark. Stephanie, another stat I wanted to touch on. In one Pew survey, they ask in different ways about people's attitudes toward kids. And one of them, they're asking for people who don't have kids. A little over half of them surveyed said it was simply because they didn't want children. We've talked about a lot of the economic factors here. You touched on it briefly earlier. How big a factor is people don't necessarily feel that social pressure that having kids is just what you do?
Well, I think that's very important that people do feel free to say, I choose not to have kids, which was just in the 1950s, you were really looked down upon. It was a real social stigma to admit that you didn't want to have kids. On the other hand, when we actually look at the complex of reasons why people say they don't want kids, it gets more complicated. There was a New York Times a poll that gave people a lot of choices. The biggest number was the childcare is too expensive. Then was want more time for the children I already have, can't afford children, financial instability, then want more leisure time, worried about global instability, 35% struggle with work-life family, and even almost a third were worried about the environmental crisis. So there's a lot of things going on. And I think most people are really more ambivalent about this, and they can be tipped by the economic stresses, the social stresses, and their worries about the future of American democracy and the American economy.
Stephanie, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Stephanie Kuntz, Director of Research and Public Education for the Council on Contemporary Families, author of a bunch of books on gender, family, and history, including the forthcoming For Better and Worse, The Problematic Past and Uncertain Future of Marriage. She talked to us about why millennials are less likely to have kids than previous generations. Probably have her back to talk about that book when it comes out.